So what does all this mean in terms of our wider perspective? It means that from the time of the actual age of history, we see at work in history a new tendency. A tendency that wasn't at work in history before, except perhaps in a very rudimentary and anticipatory sense. So what is this tendency that with the actual age now makes its appearance in history, at least to the extent of now being noticeable and visible? The tendency is what we may describe as a tendency for the increased production of individuals. This is the new tendency that makes its appearance on a comparatively extensive scale with the actual age. Tendency for the increased production of individuals, meaning, of course, by individuals, people who, in one way or another, to a greater or a lesser extent, have realized their own true spiritual selfhood, their own true spiritual nature. Sometimes, of course, these individuals exist in isolation, in comparative isolation. But more often, it seems, we find them together. Not together in large numbers, but together in twos, threes, perhaps even a few more than that. So these individuals, who as individuals are together in contact, deep personal contact, real individual contact, not just contact as members of the same group. These individuals, as individuals, form between them a new, a different kind of group that we can't even still call a group. They form between them, they make up between them, these individuals who have now started emerging, what we call, for want of a better term, a spiritual community. A spiritual community. Or if you like, just a community, provided you understand the term correctly in this context. So we can go a step further. We can generalize just a little bit more. And we can say that from the time of the actual age, we find, at work in history, two great tendencies, two great lines of development. First of all, there's a line of development of larger and ever larger groups. Starting off with the family, going on to the tribe, the nation, the empire, corporate state, etc. Or, on a slightly reduced scale, even things like the shop, the business, firm, international, supranational, corporation, and so on. This is one line of development, one tendency of history. The development of bigger and bigger and ever bigger groups, culminating in the enormous, the mammoth groups that we now know of in the world as a whole. And then there's a second tendency at work in history, since the time of the actual age, the tendency towards the development of individuals, in the sense in which the term has already been described, and spiritual communities, in the sense of communities made up of individuals, just a few individuals. And we know, of course, that the individuals and the spiritual communities that are made up of the individuals are always very, very few in number, compared with the total population. The spiritual communities especially are very, very small. Perhaps we can say that they're small by definition. You can't really have a worldwide spiritual community. A spiritual community, by definition, and this is a very sobering thought that we must take very seriously, is small. It would seem to be a sort of law of history, a law of human development, that when a spiritual community reaches a certain size, it tends to take on the characteristics of the group. And as it takes on the characteristics of the group, or a group, becomes a group, it degenerates. We know that this has happened in the West. We know that it's happened in the case, for instance, of the Christian churches. But that's another story. We've no time to pursue it now. I did think a little while ago that it might not be a bad idea to design a sort of series of pictures showing the emergence of individuals, individuals forming spiritual communities, as it were, separating themselves from the group, then the spiritual communities getting bigger, feeling, as it were, the attraction, the gravitational pull of the group, taking on different characteristics and attributes of the group, and then being absorbed back into the group as a pseudo-spiritual community within the group, which is what the church is, which is what most conventional, traditional, orthodox religious bodies of any religion are, in fact. So maybe sometime in the future we'll get one of our artist or pictorial friends to produce a sort of series of illustrations to make the nature of this process very clear to everybody. But anyway, that is just by the way. Now, spiritual communities, true spiritual communities, that is to say, communities made up of real individuals, may be very small. Very small indeed, insignificant. But they exert, qualitatively speaking, a very great influence. They're just like a sort of leaven, which leavens, we may say, the vast, doughy, stodgy mass of the general population. But to this too we'll be returning perhaps a little later on.